I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time now for Three Stories You Should Know. And I'm joined again this week by Shira Springer of the Boston Globe. Hello, Shira.
Hello.
And by Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's going on?
I hope we're going to find out very shortly. Just when we thought we could move on from NFL stories for just at least a little while, New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul has sued ESPN reporter Adam Schefter, maintaining that he has violated Pierre-Paul's privacy by sending a tweet that included the player's medical records. Two former employees of the Florida hospital where Pierre-Paul was treated have been fired for leaking those records. My concern is with the reporter's actions. I hope Pierre-Paul prevails, because even in these days when, in most respects, privacy is regarded with a nostalgic sigh, records of medical treatment should not be published without the permission of both the patient and the doctor. I don't care whether the patient is a congressman or a professional football player. It just shouldn't happen. Shira, you have any inclination to argue otherwise?
No, I am right there with you, Bill. I do hope that Pierre-Paul prevails with this case, because you need to send a message that there are some things still off limits. And I think it also speaks to a larger issue about the way many reporters feel they have to do their reporting.
It's competitive.
Exactly. Yeah. There's this desire to be there the quickest and to have the most sensational material, and you do it without thinking.
Michael, so far it's two against none.
No, I agree with both of you. You know, I've had guys send me their x-rays before and show me injuries and breaks and things. I feel if he's willing to give that information up, then that's fair game. But if you're acquiring them through another means and you're not getting the permission of the player, then you're violating, you know, that guy's privacy. And you know, we've entered this era where there is no privacy. You know, everyone's in social media and everyone feels that everything is open for discussion. And, you know, you got guys with camera phones taking pictures.
Absolutely.
Wherever you go. People feel like we're in an era where the privacy doesn't matter. But I think in this situation, it really does, because I think everyone knows that Pierre-Paul had a very, you know, terrible injury to his hand. But when I think you cross the line when you start showing these documents that weren't acquired from him.
All of us as reporters have been involved in situations where the medical aspect of a story is an important aspect. You either ask the player or you ask the player's representative. You have to go through the proper channels to get these medical records. I can't say it enough. It's journalism 101.
Michael, your story is next. What should we know this week?
One, that the Golden State Warriors are doing things on the basketball court that we've never seen before. They're on a pace now to win 75 games, and I think that they've embraced this chase. Are they going to top the Bulls? Are they going to get 72 wins? And I think that we need to change the question and ask them how many wins are they going to get, because they've found the antidote for pressure, and that's fun. They've embraced having fun, and nobody else is even matters in the NBA this year. they're having so much fun.
I don't know if you want to tell the San Antonio Spurs that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're having the best season in their franchise's history.
I know.
And nobody cares. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers are running away with the Eastern Conference, but they're having no joy because they know they can't beat the Golden State Warriors.
You know, the great thing about what you have presented, Michael, is you've given me another reason to pay a lot of attention to the rest of the NBA season, and that is to see whether the pressure does appear as the wins continue to mount up. It'll be great fun to see whether that happens, I think. Shira, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say, you know, Michael says that the Warriors have found the antidote to pressure. I also think there's a fair amount of luck or good fortune involved in this run in this respect. They have stayed away from injuries. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a key aspect when you're talking about the grind of an 82 NBA regular season. And part of the reason they've been able to do that, let's be honest, is they've been so far ahead of teams. I think in something like 15 of their first 50 wins, Stephen Curry was able to rest in the fourth quarter.
I want to get away from that technical stuff for just a minute, because one of the delights of being a fan is witnessing a GOAT, a G-O-A-T, a greatest of all time. And I've seen several candidates. I got to see Wade Boggs hit in his prime. I got to see Tiger Woods play golf, and Lionel Messi, notable for his genius. Christine Lilly, notable for her selflessness and longevity.
And her genius.
Play soccer and her genius. This is pure fun, even if you're not a fan of the individual or the team that's involved, right?
No, I do think it's absolutely fun to be able to say, I was there when I watched it live. I know Michael and I had the opportunity. We were at a Brooklyn Nets Warriors game in early December when they were all talking, still talking about the winning streak. What would you say, Michael? Maybe 60, 70% of the fans in the arena in Brooklyn were rooting for the Warriors?
Yes, they all want to be a part of history. They all want to see it.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, too. Like, this is such a likable team. Even if you go back to the Bulls run with Michael Jordan, there was a bit of a resistance because no one likes to see a team that's just on top, just dominating. But I think everybody likes this team. You look at Steph Curry, I mean, he looks like he's in middle school. So I think little kids like him because they feel like, well, I could do that. It's almost like one of those movies, somebody gets a magical pair of shoes, some kid, and then he just goes out and just dominates everybody. Mm. That's sort of what the Warriors are doing right now.
Sherry, you're up next. I understand that your story is also basketball related, right?
It is. This week, after Colorado defeated number 9-ranked Arizona in college basketball, Colorado students stormed the court. Not unusual. Opposing teams' fans have stormed the court in 10 out of Arizona's last 11 conference road losses. Needless
to
say,
that is the kind of statistic that my life would be so poor without this sort
right?
of thing.
Right? Well, needless to say, this prompted Arizona coach Sean Miller to make some strong comments after the game about court storming. And basically he said, you know, at some point down the line, an Arizona player is going to punch a fan. And they're going to punch the fan out of self-defense. I agree with Miller, and I think the Pac-12 should show stronger leadership in this instance. It really is a safety issue, and there have been incidences in the college ranks where people have been injured, including a reporter who broke his leg when he was covering an Iowa-Iowa State game.
Michael, where does court storming come down on the list of sports-related things that you worry about?
Pretty low. I actually love court storming. I think it's one of the benefits of being a college student, and I love that stuff.
Don't you think there should at least be some protection for those visiting players? I mean, there are going to be incidences. There may not be like a flood of them, but there are going to be more and more instances, I think, where you're going to see people either injured or put in pretty precarious situations.
Yeah, I guess until that day comes, I don't know. I just feel that if you're a top team, they're going to want to celebrate a lot if they beat you. As a coach, he's got to let his guys know, let's try to get this win, because we know if we lose, they're gonna rush the court and celebrate on us.
So it's the player's fault.
Michael, I have to come down on your side on this. As concerns about sports and athletes go, this is way down on my list. I understand the danger posed by delirious fans, especially delirious fans who are drunk. But I still feel like a certain amount of enthusiasm is necessary. And also, I worry a little bit about what the measures would be to prevent this. What are we going to have? Donald Trump's wall around the court?
The schools will pay for it. I actually think the solution is somewhat simpler than you're leading people to believe in this sense. You kind of know the games where court storming might take place. You brief your security and you say, hey, secure an area for the visiting team without totally disrupting the court storming. You can have it, let's say, a modified court storming, if that's possible.
This is the lane that if you want to storm the court, go through this lane right here.
Right. It sounds silly, I know.
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports and Shira Springer of the Boston Globe. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.